This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Radio KSCR, variety radio at its best, Native Vines Winery, a different kind of wine country, Carefree Travel and Meetings, a truly carefree travel experience, and 3000 Records, promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com. Welcome to a different kind of wine country. Native Vines Winery is located in Lexington, North Carolina, and offers a unique line of vinifera wines as well as sweet fruit and specialty wines. Come by the winery, enjoy the grounds, taste the wine, and stay a while. Native Vines Winery, the first American Indian-owned and operated winery in the United States. A different kind of wine country located at 1336 North NC Highway 150, Lexington, North Carolina 27295. Or visit us online at nativevineswinery.com. Traveling for business. What a pain. So travel like you haven't got a care in the world. Book your next trip with Carefree Travel and Meetings. We offer free hotel, travel, reservation service to cities all over the world, as well as complimentary concierge services. We also provide meeting and event planning assistance to individuals and in-house event planners throughout North and South America. With our extensive travel, meeting, and event experience, our desire is to make your travel experience truly carefree. Carefree Travel and Meetings. Visit us at carefreetravelandmeetings.com and tell them Rockwired sent you for a special rate. You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks.
Hey kid, rock and roll, rock on.
From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush. Exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired gives it up for Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth and their forthcoming album, 100 Miles to Macon. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by.
Shaped on the movie screen, Jimmy Dean.
Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're pleased to be giving it up for Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth and their forthcoming album, 100 Miles to Macon. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Bucky Hayes regarding the forthcoming release, and you're going to hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, from 100 Miles to Macon, here is Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth with I'll Leave the Light On.
Did you come home when I'm not around? Come knocking on someone else's door when you're back in town. Turn some other fellas whole life around with a melody that crosses oceans by leaps and bounds. Well, I tried to stay here, my heart opened your sound. I wanna hear you, baby, let me wear the crown. And I'll lay the light on till the break of day. Burning bright for you in case you lost your way. Well, it's not a symbol, but a cry in the night. To let you know you have a safe life.
That was Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth with I'll Leave the Light On off of their forthcoming album, 100 Miles to Macon. For more on the band, check them out at their official Facebook page. The link is provided right here at rockwire.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Bucky Hayes regarding the forthcoming album, and here's how the interview went.
And, you know, being in New York, you're more than 100 miles to Macon, so...
That sure is true. About 1,000 miles to Macon now.
Exactly. I mean, so, and hearing the music, I wouldn't have guessed, you know, New York was where the stomping grounds were. How long have you been up there?
I've been here, I moved here from Atlanta in 2005.
Oh, okay.
About 11 years I've been in New York.
Gotcha.
Time goes by fast.
And what was it that brought you up there? Just wanted to give, was it music specifically, or?
Oh, it was a combination. I'd been up here, I'd actually had a friend that I met in the traffic jam of a concert. It was a Fish concert that I went to the 99 to 2000 New Year's Eve. I just kind of went on a whim because I had some friends going. And I met this dude named Keith, and he lived in New Jersey. And so we decided, oh, this next summer, the summer of 2000, why don't we be street musicians? You know, so he came down to Atlanta, and we went up the East Coast to New York and New Jersey. And then we went, you know, then we traveled west and went all the way over to the West Coast and down and back and whatever. And so I came to New York a couple of times, and I thought, you know, it's interesting, it's big. You know, it's a, you know, big city, and I kind of liked the energy of it and all the people and everything like that. So then I had a girlfriend in Atlanta when I was, you know, 23, 24, that age. I moved here at 25, and she said that she wanted to move to New York. So I thought, you know, what the hell? Let's see what happens, you know. And I was playing music in Atlanta, but, you know, I just... figured, you know, it would be an adventure, you know, and it has been.
Gotcha.
So,
and right now, you've got the album, you know, 100 Miles to Macon out there, and now that it's out there for people to get a listen to, how do you feel about the finished work?
I feel really good about it. Yeah, I feel that it's, you know, I feel it came naturally and easy when we recorded it. You know, we went up to a place in upstate New York, and we set up live, and we recorded live. And the whole thing is live, besides, you know, a few little percussion shakers and some harmony vocals that we added, you know, at a later date. But, you know, we just kind of set up and played, and so it felt natural in that way. And I feel like the band is really, really good. You know, I mean, I've had a couple of bands. But the bass player and the drummer I've played with off and on for years, so they really kind of know my groove. And the piano player too, but the guitar player is really great, and so I feel like they really get it, you know, and they're really right there with me, and I've always wanted to do music that was, you know, kind of that you could combine the elements of, you know, say like a sensitive singer songwriter type of thing, you know, with, you know, some straight ahead kind of rock and roll elements, and I think that, you know, that we got a hold of that, so I feel good about it. Yeah.
And who all helped you behind the recording console for this one? Who helped put it together for you guys?
You mean who?
Who produced it? Yeah. Who produced it?
Well, it's a self-produced thing.
Oh, okay.
There's a recording engineer who he works a lot as a producer. He does, and so he definitely had some ideas. But it was more along the lines of we had played the songs a lot, and we had arrangements, you know, like internal arrangements that we just worked out in rehearsals and stuff. And so I called him because I've been friends with him. Andy Baldwin is his name. He's got a studio called Rolla Pola. He's got a place in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, and also where we recorded up in a little bit upstate New York, a little bit north of the city, and you know, I liked his work, and I like his whole vibe and his energy. I just kind of felt like, well, if we get into his place, because I really wanted to go away for, instead of just going to a studio in the city and then coming home, everyone going back to their, you know, apartments or whatever, and then going back the next day, I thought, I want to go, you know, like, I really love the band and the Grateful Dead, and like, you know, the Allman Brothers used to live together, like that whole kind of vibe. I thought, I figured if we just went away for a weekend, and, you know, we had it was in December, you know, so it was kind of the winter time up there, and, you know, the house was up on this hill, and it was looking out towards the Catskills. You could see the Catskills mountain range in the distance, and we had a fire going the whole time, all 3 days. So I just figured if we just get up there and then he can get good sound, we just do what we do anyway, then it'll work, and, you know, and it did. So that's kind of, nobody's credited as a producer, though.
I see. And so far, what sort of reaction have you been able to gauge from the release? I mean, have there been any reactions to it that have surprised you, or that you didn't quite see coming, or anything like that?
Well, Dave, it's a little too early to tell, to be totally honest, Brian, because the official release date is September 10th. We're having a release show and party, and so we hired the PR company through Rhonda, and she just started pushing it. So far, you know what I mean? I mean, to be totally and 100% transparent and honest, you're the first reaction I've gotten, because she just started on Monday.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, you know,
well, then you'll read my reaction to it tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, as far as I know, I have no idea.
All right, good to be the first. Good to be the first. But
so we'll see. I mean, call me in a week. I'm not really sure.
Well, tell me, so bring me back to the beginning for you. At what point, you know, why music? At what point did that enter into your life and you decide to pick up the guitar and whatever? I mean, you know, how did that all begin?
Well, that began, you know, I've always loved music, of course. I mean, all the way back from watching, you know, Hee Haw and stuff like that with my dad, you know, and listening to, you know, I loved the kind of everything on the radio as a kid, you know, pop music. My dad would play country music. You know, so I always liked that, but, and I wanted, you know, even asking my parents for a guitar and a fiddle and all that as a little tiny kid, but I didn't get a guitar until I was 14. I played, you know, I liked to play football and all, you know, baseball and stuff as, you know, as a younger, you know, kid and early teens and stuff. But then at 14, I was playing freshman football at the high school, and I just didn't really like it. It was so regimented, and I thought, I don't think this kind of, it's fun to play, you know, in the yard with my friends and stuff, but to this kind of thing, I don't think it's my bag. And so my stepdad said, oh, I think, well, you know, maybe just, you should pick another hobby and stick with it or whatever. And I said, well, I've always wanted to play the guitar. And there was this kid across the street named B.G. Pope and Jerry Pope, and they had a guitar, they sold me this classical guitar for $20. And my stepdad actually, he plays the guitar. So he taught me my first couple of chords and then took some lessons and then all that, you know, and I really loved, really the first bands that really influenced me huge and actually still continue was the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers. And back in, I went to a concert when I was in 1989, you know, as a kid, it was an Allman Brothers concert. And I said, oh, you know, that was really cool, you know. And then went again in 94. I was 14 at that time, and that was right about the time. And I also had this friend, these two friends, Brian and Mike, and their dad, who also was named Bucky, just like me. He kind of became like a music mentor, you know what I mean? I would stay at their house, and he would play me Coltrane and B.B. King and all kind of crazy stuff for like a 10-year-old to be, you know, jamming out to. And we went to this concert in 1994, and I was 14, and I'd just gotten the guitar, and we were all, it was in Tampa, Florida, it was in this airstrip, you know, it was kind of a fairground type of thing, and there was rods and stuff for kids and whatever, and, we were sitting back on these lawn chairs, and he kind of puts his arm around me and says, Buck, you know, if you want to play the guitar, you got to get up there close and really check it out. So I did. I went right up close, and like Dickie Betts, you know, for the Allman Brothers was right there. And it was so loud, my chest was shaking, and it just really kind of turned me on. I thought, like, that's awesome. You know, I want to play. So I just kept playing.
For more on Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth, check them out at the official Facebook page. The link is provided right here at rockwire.com. And here is Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth once again with Sweet June.
When the sun went down too soon, let's all go and walk down on the boardwalk. We can dress up and act like it's 1922. The girls in dresses with those fancy hats and jewels, we'll wear our suits and shine up our shoes. Oh, June, sweet June, is that seat taken right there next to you? Oh, June, sweet June, one dance would go to cure this working man's blues. Oh, June. So early on, you got her for to look forward to. And baby, here we are, right on top of your baseball season. Less anyone's game now, you must believe it's true. I believe it's true. It's early June. Let's go see.
September. Lord, would you, sweet June, is that seat taken right there next to you? Oh, June, sweet June, one dance would go to cure this working man's blues. Oh, June.
Talk about the Commonwealth. Talk about the members of the band. Tell me who they are and what it is you think each of them sort of brings to the table that makes this thing work.
Well, there's I'll bring up the drummer first. He's the one I've played with the most. I've known him for almost the whole time that I've lived in New York. I met him through another songwriter named Matt Lenny, who was in a band that I, an old band I used to have. I met him through that, and then he came to a solo show that, you know, I started playing, you know, just solo gigs as soon as I moved here. And, you know, he's been very supportive the whole time. You know, I did a little indie record years ago, and he actually recorded that and produced that. And so, you know, he brings a lot of, you know, he just kind of is, been playing my songs for, you know, years, and so he just kind of feels the rhythm of it. You know, we got a groove from all those years of playing together. Like, well, there's a real kind of interlocking, you know, swing and beat to it that seems to come real natural. And then he has a ton of good ideas too. You know, he'll have, you know, just kind of ideas about, like, oh, what if we try to get louder? You know, he's very enthusiastic. Maybe we try to get louder here. Maybe, you know, this and that. And, you know, so he's good like that. You know, he's an active member, I guess is what you could say. You know, he's not a passive type of guy where he's just going to sit back and say, oh, I'm just going to play the drums. Like, he wants to be in there. So he's great like that. And Bobby McCullough is the bass player. Those two have been playing music since college together in Virginia. And that's one of the reasons, actually, that the band is called the Commonwealth, is because all the members are from Virginia, you know, the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
There you go. Well, those two guys, and you probably are familiar, those two guys went to Radford University. And then the bass player, the guitar player is from Virginia Beach. And then the piano player is from, what's the name of that town in the mountains where they have there's a music festival.
Woodbridge is close to D.C.
There's a lot of, like, clogging there. And
I see, yeah. It's been a while. I've been away for so many years, and I grew up in Maryland. I'm just born in Virginia, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, so that's one of the reasons that they're all, that's the name of it. And I thought it kind of had a warm connotation, too, like the idea of kind of, you know, the band and all the people that want to come and listen and fans and stuff, there's a kind of common, you know, it's what's good for one of us is it could be good for all of us if we kind of think about it together and try to. That's the kind of the spirit that I want to put into it. Is it not a exclusive but an inclusive type of energy to the live shows and to, you know, the whole to life in general. And so Bobby and Sonny have a good rhythm together because they've played together for so long that they can kind of more or less musically finish each other's sentences. And Bobby's also an excellent harmony singer, so that adds a lot to the band. Patrick Hay, he's a guitar player. He's just a hell of a guitar player. He went to the New England Conservatory, so he's, you know, he's very well trained in that regard. But he's also just has an amazing ear. He's very tasteful. He's got a great tone. He seems to know, you know, with all the pedals and everything, he knows what sound to dial up, and just got good instincts. And then Brian Trennis is the organ keyboard player. I met him years ago because I put a band together to do a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers tribute thing at this bar just for fun. And we know we needed a Benmont Tench, and so someone mentioned him, and so I met him that way, and then he had a lot of fun, and he thought, oh man, can I, you know, play in your band? And so I thought, yeah, that'd be great. And he's he has kind of a great overall ear, because he does a lot of engineering, and that's actually how he, you know, makes the bulk of his living, is being a recording engineer. And so he's got a kind of a good ear for the whole thing. Like, he seems to know what to add sonically, you know, to kind of fill out the sound. And he's a very selfless player in that way, that he's not a guy that wants to take a million, you know, piano solos or whatever. He wants to do what is good for the song in general. So that's, you know, that's a really kind of a lucky break to have people like that, you know, someone like that in your band, you know.
And describe the songwriting process. How do you go about it?
Well, I do it a lot of different ways. I mean, my very favorite way to write songs is if I have time in the morning. I love to write, you know, with a couple of cups of coffee and a little bit of quiet, you know, time. And, you know, having a few hours like that. But I guess in general, when the stuff happens the best is to kind of just feeling like your antenna's a little bit tuned in, you know what I mean? Where you're not so busy that you're not paying attention to what's going on around you. And that seems to be where the hippest songs come from for me, is when, you know, if I overhear a story or like a little phrase or something kind of comes to mind, it's like, oh, that's a cool idea of a song. And then, you know, I'll have ideas and phrases. And sometimes I'm just walking down the street and like a little rhythm comes into my head, and, you know, I'll write down a few verses, and then, you know, and then just, you know, then sit with my guitar. I always write with the guitar, instead of, say, a keyboard or something, and, you know, and I'll just play different chords and see, you know, what kind of chord progressions I can come up with. Or I might take the stuff that I already have and, you know, try to work that out. I mean, I've got some songs, actually the first song on the album, that chorus, you know, of I'll Leave the Light On, I wrote that on this little classical guitar I had, you know, in the middle of the night, actually. And I had that chorus for, you know, like a year or more. And and I was just always, oh, this is cool. And I would go back to it every time I was, you know, just writing. And you know, nothing ever came of it. And it seems like there's got to be like a little bit of a, like the, you know, when you're driving or whatever and you feel that uncomfortableness of like, I think I'm going the wrong way. You know, nothing ever seems to happen with the songs if that's, ooh, like, well, this isn't right, you know, I'm not going the right direction. And then once you kind of get on something that feels like the right direction in the honest way, then it seems to kind of just come out, you know? You know, once you get on the right path and you got the, you know, the right rhythm, the right tune, and then, you know, I just more or less, I guess, try to create space and let it happen.
And once the album comes out in September, what would you like people to come away with after they hear it?
Well, I would like for them to you know, just have fun listening to it, you know. And I think that, you know, the album is a little bit, it's not a concept album by any stretch of the imagination, but it is, it has a, like an overall kind of art to it, in the sense that I wrote a lot of those songs in a period of my life when I was kind of going through a transition. You know, I had been in, you know, kind of a serious relationship type of thing, and then I was, well, you know, kind of a little bit wild for a bunch of years, and went through a heartbreak thing, and, you know, so there was just a lot of different of transitioning, of going to, like, oh, you know, from what am I going to do next, you know what I mean, what's going to happen next, and it was a period of uncertainty, so there was all that, but it, you know, it felt like the songs kind of helped me through that, and helped me kind of get to resolutions, and also helped with an outlet for everything. So, you know, I would hope that people, you know, at the end of it, they feel like that it's honest, that we were playing, you know, the truth as we felt it, and that it was that it has like a sense of closure, that it's not, I don't think it's an album that's going to leave you feeling, you know, like, you know, some kind of uncertainty or something. I feel like that we knew what we wanted to say, and then we said it, you know.
For more on Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth, check them out at their official Facebook page. The link is provided right here at rockwire.com. And from their forthcoming album, 100 Miles to Macon, here is Bucky Hayes and the Commonwealth once more with Go Brother Go.
You want this, it's yours. But just because you want it doesn't make it so. Your head's been hanging down low. Well, everybody shouldn't get a ticket to that show. Oh, I'd rather go. Just how high only your heart knows. And don't plan to hear them say no. Oh, take my hand, I know which way to go. You're on the move now, and they know. I want to learn along the way as the road unfolds. Oh, I'd rather go. Just how high only your heart knows. Well, I love you, true tale. Well, call me when you need me, cause I'll be there. Well, I'm made of mine. Long mind, and to move this way all night long. Oh, I'd rather go. And just how high only your heart knows. Oh, I'd rather go. Just how high only your heart knows. Just how high. Your heart knows just how only your heart knows.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Bucky Hayes for his time and his music, and a very special thanks goes out to Rhonda of Team RMG. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks.